KSCU Santa Clara presents. Two nerds answering the call to become KSCU DJs. Join them now on this incredible journey.
It's a trap!
Robot at night.
Great Scott!
New powers rising!
I got a bad feeling about this.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
There is no escape.
You will be assimilated.
What we do, it is useless to resist.
Resistance is futile.
You will be deleted.
Exterminate!
Prepare for battle.
Exterminate!
It's a man-hound!
We're doomed.
That is right. Welcome to Robots Attack. I am Joe, and with me, as always, my faithful companion, my partner in crime. You know who he is. Say his name with love.
Caleb.
That's right. How are you doing, Caleb?
Doing swell. How about yourself?
Not too bad. How was your weekend? Do anything fun?
Yeah. Not too... Just sort of hung out, watched... What did I do? I started working on a design project that I'd been putting off for a while, so that was good. Get back in the swing of things.
Oh, okay. Cool. Did you do that, so you did that most of the weekend, or...?
Yeah, mostly. And then also the usual weekend, take a break from all the stuff you've done during the week thing, so...
Yeah, I hear you on that. We also have in the studio with us fan favorite Jason.
Woo!
Let us know if you're there so we know your mic works.
I believe I am here.
I hear him.
Excellent. Hopefully you out there hear him as well. And I'm going to ask Jason what he did because it kind of ties into what I did. One thing over the weekend.
Goodness.
I made a very special trip, very early trip, to San Francisco to catch an interview with a comic book legend, or at least what I consider to be a comic book legend.
Yeah.
And it was much fun.
Who was it?
Should I go with a short name? Or?
Well, you know, Todd McFarlane, or T-Mac, as we call him.
Right.
T-Mac.
Now that we're buds.
Yeah, because we talk to him, and,
right.
And you know.
We came within, 2 feet of him, so.
Yeah.
We're officially, best pals now.
Right on. That is so cool.
And, yeah, we found out that he's originally from Canada, but he lived in San Jose for a while, so. When he mentioned that, we're like, whoa, hey, there we go.
It sounded almost like he almost, grew up in this area.
It's
kind of interesting.
But, yeah, we did that for the morning on Saturday, and then after that interview was done, we attacked San Francisco.
We did.
Right on.
And it was asleep.
Yeah, who knew that things weren't open yet in San Francisco in the morning? We got there, after we did the interview, we're like, all right, one of the plans was, okay, maybe we'll hit a movie or something. Let's grab something to eat because we hadn't eaten anything beforehand.
Right.
So we walk around. Oh, that place looks promising. Oh, it's closed. Okay. Oh, that's not open. Oh, look, Starbucks is open. Okay, well, this movie we were thinking of seeing starts in an hour. I guess we could go to Starbucks and just grab something small. And then after the movie's done, things will be open.
Right,
hopefully.
You would think. Yeah.
And
this was at 10:30. And a lot of the places that we were passing
10:30?
By
were
breakfast places.
Yeah.
One of them literally had spatulas for one of the guardrails. For the place.
Huh. Yeah, we looked and we're like, well, there's a Denny's over there. I'm sure that's open. But,
yeah.
we hit Denny's at San Francisco. Of all the places there, we ate at Denny's.
Right, yeah.
But we didn't do that. So we did the Starbucks thing and then saw Chronicle And then after Chronicle, we had beer and pizza and calamari and
strong
onion rings.
Beer, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we hit this place called the 21st Amendment.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. It was good.
We amended that place.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
I'll have to check that out sometime.
And then we were trying to decide between 21st Amendment and 00.
Okay.
Right. And we're like, okay, what do we want? Because 00, we found out was like the kind of specialty pizzas.
Right, right.
So we're like, okay, do we want specialty pizzas? Or, and I was kind of in the mood for like trying like beer, you know, from brewery and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I think Jason decided.
I was the decision maker.
Yeah. Let's get some appetizers and beer at 21st Amendment. And then get like regular actual food at 00.
Yeah,
so,
smart.
I dropped the gavel on that one.
Yeah. And it worked. They didn't. They ran out of the first beer I tried to order.
Oh, no.
Well, no. The first beer I tried to order was this watermelon beer that apparently it's famous
watermelon
for.
Watermelon beer.
But it's seasonal. Like this place has a lot of beer like seasonally.
Right.
So that one wasn't until April. So like, okay. And I looked at this other one called Lucifer. It's like, oh, this one sounds pretty good. So I order that, and then she comes back. We sold the last bottle.
Oh.
Okay, what do you recommend? She's like, well, how about this one? I'm like, all right, I'll take that one. I forget what it was called, but it was good. But yeah, they list like how much alcohol percentage.
Right. They have a whole page just dedicated to the really strong ones that are like over 8%. And yeah, they were every ounce of that over 8%. So I think I did like a 9.2 or something like that. And
yeah. I know one of mine was, it was like 9.3, 9.4. And then, so that was the first beer. And then we had another kind of like, I got like a Pilsner one, and then you got this Egyptian one.
Yeah, the Egyptian one was really cool. It didn't use hops at all. It uses cardamom and other spices to mimic that sort of flavor.
That sounds like quite the gastronomical experimentation, guys. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how like accurate it is. It, with all the exotic spices, it sounded very Egyptian, but I don't know. It might have been just like out of the blue type of thing.
That's one of the things, like someone dumped this thing in the vat by accident. It tastes great. Let's sell this.
Right, yeah. Yeah, very crisp, very, very refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. And then when we were successfully buzzed, and so all the walking was helpful.
Even with fried foods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a sufficiently strong beer.
Yeah. And then we hit 00, got a couple different pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the interview that we saw, they actually gave us, apparently the Image Expo was going on this past weekend.
Oh, whoa.
And in Oakland.
No, and nobody showed up for the interview knew either.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay. And Todd McFarlane was going to be there. So that was kind of part of it. And
right on.
They gave us like free 3-day passes. And we're like, well, this is really cool. But we looked at it and it's like, it's in Oakland. Like,
right.
Really.
We could have hoofed it over there. But
yeah. We were just like, we didn't really plan for it. And we kind of like, sort of planned what we planned, and it right. would kind of like throw a wrench into it. And so, and like Todd McFarlane signed our tickets, so we were kind of like,
that's sort of awesome.
So
we didn't want to get rid of them, was it?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't want to give this thing up. Can you just like show it at the door? Can we just walk in now? Don't do anything with the ticket,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was joking around like, well, we could show up there and like ask for T-Mac, like, come on, T-Mac.
Let us in, come on.
Help us out.
Help a brother out.
Yeah, because they're all like, oh, are you going to go? Like, well, we'll try. We'll give it our best.
Yeah.
Right on, yeah. I'll leave a comment to me when I was, this was a while back, but when I was going to the Academy of Art in San Francisco, they had,
I'm sorry.
What? they had
memories.
Phil Tippett.
You
and
forget.
And Roy Harryhausen show up and do an interview at one of the theaters at the school.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Roy Harryhausen! Oh my gosh! I was totally fanboying it up.
Exactly? Like while he was there, oh my gosh, we're Harry Allison. Like while he was talking, or no?
No, yeah. I was just in the back, like biting my knuckles, like it's Harry Allison. Oh my gosh, my mind just wasn't really coherent. Just was a stream of like, oh my gosh, he's speaking. He's saying something really important. I should be listening, but I'm so excited that he's here. I can't say anything. Oh my gosh, what is? So that kind of reminded me of when I did that. I was like, whoa, that's so awesome.
Yeah, when Jason and I first showed up at the, because it was at the IGN building.
Okay.
We were the first ones there, like waiting. Like, nice. This is weird that no one else is here yet.
Yeah.
You know? And then Todd McFarlane and the guy that was with him, like, showed up waiting at the door. And I was like, in my head, like, I think that's Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, I was too. But it's funny. Like, I'm used to all of the old things where he'd draw himself and he'd have like this big crazy grin and like a big mustache on him, and now he's all clean shaved and everything, and he's like super skinny too, so he has this really narrow face, so it just looked nothing like the pictures at all. Not that I had an actual photo to compare, but his comic version was inaccurate 10 years later.
Funny how that works out. But it's good to know people change.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll definitely, Jason and I, when we were at the 21st Amendment, we're like, yeah, we got to hit this place again with at least you and Elaine or somebody else.
But sounds great. We're definitely down.
Yeah, we need to do like a coastal beer run, go to a whole bunch of different bars.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a winning proposition right there.
Right. Which, all of you listeners out there, please don't drink and
drive.
Because,
hey, our listeners are smart. They don't do stupid things like that.
Yeah.
Actually, in fact, if you know of any good like breweries or places, hit us up.
Yes.
Hit our email.
robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
Or throw it on our Facebook.
Robots Attack.
Or even tweet us.
Robots Attack Me.
See.
With beer.
Yeah.
Sometimes with beer. And when they do it with beer, they are our wonderful overlords, and they are welcome in my house anytime.
Yes. But yeah, if you know of any cool ones, definitely let us know, and then we'll give you a shout out.
Definitely. But, definitely.
Yeah, that was our weekend. And
pretty low-key.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty mellow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think that wraps it up for what's up, I think. Unless something else popped in your head, Caleb, that you remember doing, but I don't think I really did much else, just kind of lazed out the rest of the days after that Saturday, after all the walking and just the...
Because having walked San Francisco many a day, I can attest to what that can be like.
Yeah.
It's like you're like, all right, the corner of the map, it should be right around the... Holy smoke, who dropped a 60-grade hill in this middle of this route? Okay, let's go up one more street. Okay, it's still a really steep grade. How about this one? Okay, that one looks manageable.
Well, that was the other thing. Like, we showed up town, and we didn't realize that all the... street parking in San Francisco first thing in the morning is free on Saturdays, which meant that all of the garages were closed. And
yeah,
so,
that was the other thing. We got there, we're like, all the garages are closed. Where the heck are we going to park?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll, yeah.
But we found like that sort of outside ones.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The vacant lot ones that are really comforting.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, with a little box with some slots in it, you just stick the money in.
It had an actual person. That's the thing that blew me away. Yeah. It was like all of these other places are closed, but a parking lot had a person.
Yeah, maybe on the weekends they have someone just because all the other stuff is closed or something.
Maybe
it's San Francisco.
Crazy up there.
Who knows what it'll do? But speaking of San Francisco. Let me tell you something, gentlemen.
I am listening.
I'm going to tell you about a musical.
Ooh.
A musical?
Yes. Roberta Jones Jr. Theater presents the musical Hello, Dolly, featuring a cast of 55 performers ages 8 through 18. Imagine that.
Gosh. Okay.
8 through 18-year-olds in Hello, Dolly. Performances go from March 23rd to April 1st. More information is available by visiting rjjt.org or by calling 408-615-3161. That's 408-615-3161. And that is the autopilot on, letting you know that this is KSU Santa Clara, which I will immediately turn off when I play this next track, which is The Pretender by Cherry Bomb. I believe that's the band. They do a cover Cherry of Bomb the Foo Bomb. Fighters song, The Pretender. And I think I play it so far as like the first song every week, just because I don't hear it anywhere else but here. So hey, I just pick well. It until I get sick of it.
And there you go.
Here we go.
Listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook and check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Dun, 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 dun.
The news.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we've jumped into the news section. And to lead off, I'm going to jump both feet in geek territory and start with a Marvel story. A story about Marvel Comics, and more specifically about Marvel Comics action figures. Now, recently, They would have to pick a... This guy has a name that I am going to have trouble pronouncing. Shurisk...
It's all right, remember, for the Araja. Listen. Protect the innocent.
Yes.
Gotta love that protection.
Mm-hmm. Tells the reporter, Ike Sirik and Araja, tells Jad and Robert a story about how two international trade lawyers, Sherry Sanger and Indy Singh, who noticed something interesting while looking into a book of tariff classifications. Dolls, which represent human beings, are taxed at twice the rate of toys, which represent something not human, such as robots, monsters, and demons. So...
Robots, you say?
Yes, robots indeed. Hmm. As soon as they read that, Sherry and Indy saw dollar signs, and it just so happened that one of their clients, Marvel Comics, was importing its action figures as dolls. And one set of action figures really piqued Sherry and Indy's interest, the X-Men, normal humans who... around puberty start to change in ways that give them strange powers. For those who don't know who the X-Men are.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, they're a little obscure indie comic. You've probably never heard of them.
Okay.
There you go. But anyway, so that's kind of the core of this. The basic, it gets down to the fact that the X-Men are not considered human for the purposes of export and import by the U.S., the customs authority.
Well, that's good. I mean, save some money,
but it does make one wonder about how Professor X would feel about his students and their likenesses being counted as non-human, since he's championed for years that the mutants are just as human as the rest of us.
Somewhere a Magneto doll is like, "See, Charles, I told you."
No, he'd be like all for it. He'd be like, "Yeah, we're not human. We're like..."
Well, that's what I mean. He's like, "See, Charles, the humans should be enslaved."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did the office did create sort of a sliding scale for the humanists or non-humanists of the characters presented by Marvel. The human side being characters like the Invisible Woman, Punisher, Daredevil, U.S. Agent, and
U.S. Agent.
Yeah, I'm surprised that one even came up in the list, but. Whereas
can't think of a name. U.S. Agent. There we go. All right.
Yep. It might as well be known as Generic Man.
Generic
Man. Generic powers.
Carry a generic shield.
Not to be confused with Geriatric Man.
Who carries a generic walker.
Who carries Blue Shield.
Hey!
Using generic drugs.
Yep. But the rest of the Fantastic Four, Mr. Fantastic, the Thing, and Johnny Blaze, along with or Human Torch, if you prefer, and like the Hulk and most of the X-Men are considered non-human, so they are now less expensive to import and export by Marvel. But they're probably going to charge you the same price for them, so they're just bringing in the money.
Nice.
So either way, you don't see any difference.
Yeah, you won't see a change, other than it makes a funny story.
All right, I got a story from MSNBC.com. It's a tragic tale of a man drops his gun during a robbery and tries to buy it back.
Wait, what?
An old man barged into a Florida motel room on Thursday, scuffled with his victims, and then dropped his gun. Only returned later to try to buy back his own firearm for $40, according to published reports. At about midnight on Thursday, Cedric Mitchell, 39, tried to rob two men at the Royal Motel in Bradenton. The Bradenton Herald reported, police told the Herald that Mitchell broke in, asked the men for pills, and when they said they didn't have any, he pulled out a handgun. Mitchell then demanded, "Everything you got," said Bradenton Police Captain Warren Merriman, and a brawl ensued, reported the paper. At some point during the scuffle, Mitchell allegedly dropped his gun and was pepper sprayed by one of his victims.
Nice.
He then ran away. But moments later, the police captain told the paper Mitchell was back, begging the two men to let him buy his gun back for $40. They then pepper sprayed him in the face again, he said, and he once again ran away. The men called 911. An officer spotted Mitchell, and after a brief chase, Mitchell was arrested and booked at the Manatee County Jail, Merriman said. Mitchell has a long criminal history, which includes robbery convictions dating back to 2001. In 2005, according to the Herald, an undercover police officer was purchasing rock cocaine when Mitchell reached into the officer's front pocket, stole $100, and walked away. He pleaded no contest to a theft charge. He's now being held on no bond, charged with armed home invasion and resisting an officer, said the Herald. So yes, even this guy can drop stuff.
Yep. Including his dignity.
Yeah. If only those people would have had pills, they would have...
Yeah, none of this
would have even happened. Right.
Let that be a lesson to you, listening public.
Yeah.
Carry pills with you so that robbers do not lose their weapons.
Yeah, or if you are going to rob someone, maybe get some like duct tape or rubber bands and like wrap the gun in your hand.
Oh, yeah, some sort of chain that attaches to your watch. Something.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, this is sort of like theft, although I checked a little bit earlier tonight, and it doesn't seem like it's went into effect, even though it's supposed to happen today. But Netflix is losing its Starz contract, and so they're losing a ton of their kind of big movies.
Dun, dun, dun.
And some of the big movies that they're missing, they're going to be dropping Toy Story 3, Tron Legacy. I know a favorite of somebody here.
I'm going to miss it.
You might have to actually buy a copy now.
I got the special edition that has the movie plus the Blu-ray and 3D Blu-ray and the Blu-ray of the original Tron movie. So,
well, there you go. You might have to actually unbox it.
Yep.
Break that seal. And Robin Hood Men in Tights also going to be lost.
Oh.
Hackers.
What? How is that one not on the regular Netflix list?
I don't know. Airheads and Tank Girl.
There you go then.
Yeah. And then other significant movies like The English Patient.
Oscar fodder, blah, blah, boring, blah, blah.
And Young Frankenstein.
That one's actually good, despite what that guy thinks of it.
Wait, who are you pointing to? There's two people on here, so.
The Jason.
Oh, okay.
It's vaguely not my favorite, that's all.
Yeah, I don't remember that movie at all, so. I would recommend, though, I mean, you're going to have to power through the whole thing if tonight is the last night, especially if you only have like an hour left, mm-hmm. if it kills at midnight. But if you haven't watched Spartacus, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, actually.
Blood and Sand, right?
Yeah. Watch that first, and then if they have Gods of the Arena or something, then watch that. Even though that's a prequel, it does spoil stuff that happened in the first series, so don't watch that first thinking like, well, it's a prequel, because literally it opens with like what happens at the end of the first season.
Ah.
So yeah, that would be a huge ruiner for you.
That'd be quite the problem, yes. Spoiler alert. So what's next? I do believe
that's you.
Yeah, it would be me. Which it's a good thing that you mentioned Spartacus, because that leads me directly into my next story, which is Lucy Lawless, because it's a.
Hey, there you go. Great. See,
they're
I planned that.
And straps.
I planned that. See,
and
that's how
amounts of clothing.
That's how we roll on Robots Attack.
Yeah,
which she hasn't really worn anything like
in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, in this case, she isn't in a costume, and she isn't throwing metal rings at people. She is raising her fist in protest against big oil. That's right, Lucy Lawless in Wellington, New Zealand. I found this on Yahoo. Police arrested Lucy Lawless and five Greenpeace activists on Monday, 4 days after they climbed onto an oil drilling ship to prevent it from leaving its New Zealand dock. Police removed the protesters. They were perched atop a 170-foot, 53-meter drilling tower at the Noble Discoverer in Port Taranaki. Chartered by the Shell Oil Company, the ship is due to leave over the weekend to drill five exploratory wells in the Arctic. Lawless and six activists climbed the tower of the ship in a gesture to raise awareness about Arctic oil drilling.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't even realize it was Lucy Lawless that caused the hike in oil prices in the last little while.
She might be one of them. One of many reasons. One of the activists left the tower on Saturday and was initially charged with unlawfully boarding a ship. All seven are now being charged with burglary, which is a more serious crime. They have been released and are due to appear in New Zealand court on Thursday. Lucy Lawless, who's a native New Zealander, is best known for Xena and Spartacus. She spoke with the Associated Press saying that...
Battlestar.
Oh, she was in Battlestar. Yeah, so. I did not know she was in Battlestar.
Later seasons.
Yeah. Okay.
I won't say what she plays because it would
sort of spoil things.
Spoil things, yeah.
Good times. See, more shows, more good, more Lucy Lawless goodness. Which always reminds me of the Simpsons episode where she guest starred. Wait, Lucy Lawless cannot fly? Xena can't fly? I told you, I'm Lucy Lawless.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Or also in that episode where they're like, all these fans are asking, well, an episode, blah, 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 blah. A wizard did it. This save a wizard did it. That solves all the problems.
But getting back to our serious issue.
Yeah. I apologize.
No, it's fine. I think we started it. Lucy Lawless.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I take my apology back.
Yeah, you can't have it.
Yeah, she felt compelled to stand up against the oil drilling in the Arctic and against global warming. She was quoted as saying, "I've got three kids. My sole biological reason for being on this planet is to ensure that they can flourish, and they can't do that in a filthy, degraded environment. We need to stand up while we still can." So, there you go. There's someone who is standing up for what they believe in and putting their money where their mouth is.
Get up, stand up.
I commend you, Lucy Lawless. Fight the good fight.
Indeed.
All right, now before I get to my next story, I need to ask you a question.
What's that?
Do you want free tickets to a concert?
Who doesn't?
KSCU has got you covered. Just listen in and you could win. To see which shows we're giving away tickets for, go to kscu.org and click on promotions.
Groovy.
Speaking of promotions, this story here would be quite the promotion for a cat. That's right, a cat. Hank for Senate Cat runs for office in Virginia.
He might actually win.
I got this out of the HuffPost. All right. The race for a Senate seat from Virginia may involve into a cat fight now that one Springfield resident has tossed his collar into the ring. I didn't make that up. This is actually in the story. Hank may not be the typical political animal. He has spent time in the streets. He's never voted. And he really doesn't seem to like wearing clothes to do his best work. Again, I'm not making this up. It's in the story. That's right. Former Virginia governors George Allen and Tim Kaine now face a feline foe. Hank's a former street cat and political independent who advocates a job creation platform and milk in every bowl, according to his Twitter account. That's right. Hank has a Twitter account. Hank is also passionate about the creation of a privacy bill of rights and the protection of consumer data. Wow, this is an impressive cat.
This cat's on top of things.
The Cat Pain has also released an official ad featuring picturesque scenes from across the nation and praising the opportunities and values Hank holds most dear. While he may not be the most prominent candidate, his ad offers a clearer position than John Huntsman's spot of a motorcycle ride through the desert. Again, that's in the story. I think I vaguely remember seeing jokes about that ad. All right, here's a quote. Hank knows that the key to a better America and a brighter future is the creation of jobs. Jobs that will improve a street, a town, a state, and the nation. That's what his Facebook profile states. He also has a Facebook profile. Eligibility requirements could be Hank's first challenge. Federal law requires that Senate candidates be 30 years old, and Hank was born in 2003, but in cat years, that makes him 52.
Hey!
Nice.
By raising over $250, that's right, $250, from supporters for the Humane Society of Fairfax County, the kitty candidate has used his platform for good, or is it self-interest, before Election Day even arrives. But Hank wants to do more. The problems we face now have been faced by Americans since this great land was founded, Hank wrote in the mission statement on his website. Right now, we need to fall back on time-tested solutions, not social theory. Hank is actively recruiting volunteers to help spread the word by knocking on doors, manning the phones, and staffing polling places on Election Day, the Washington Post reported. AM New York points out that such campaigns are not unheard of and have even been successful in the past. Bosco Ramones, a black Labrador-Rottweiler mix, served as mayor of Sonora, California from 1981 to 1990. With enough persistence, who knows if Hank will scratch out a victory in such a contentious election year. We may just see us Senator Kit. Oh, look, jingling keys. Tell you what, I'd vote for him over Santorum any day. And there you have it, Hank for Senate.
There you are. Wow. And people thought California politics was a joke.
Yeah. All right, what do we have?
I believe it's Jason next.
This is actually kind of an old story, but it's something that I thought was worth at least talking about, just because it's a little bit of technology that's been around for a long time, but they've had a lot of problems with it being reliable, and they're just now creating...
So it's not the original Xbox, then?
No, it's not the original Xbox.
Ah!
It's the new and improved Xbox. Actually, none of those things.
Okay.
But Netgear has started putting out higher speed power line wired networking adapters, which basically the idea is that you plug it into any one of your outlets, you plug in an Ethernet cable from your cable modem or whatever you're using into that, and it turns the power lines in your house into the networking for the house.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty neat, and it's actually been around like since 85, something like that.
Whoa.
But
I didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah, they actually used it first for being able to put antennas from your normal big antenna from outside way back then. And then you could network it sort of through your power lines. But there was a whole bunch of fine-tuning that was way too much trouble.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the technology has evolved to the point where it's actually becoming reliable enough that you can do multiplayer gaming on it, and it is actually functional and pretty good.
that's saying something, because I remember seeing some reviews of a relatively recent, like 2 years ago stuff, but they're like, yeah, not for prime time yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the past it was fine for doing your normal, like, computer stuff, and even like doing video was just fine because of the invention of buffering, but
buffering.
But other than that, like, buffering. Having a really reliable live connection, it wasn't really worth much of anything. But yeah, Netgear, along with a couple of other companies, but this story was mainly about them, have started putting out some pretty reliable ones. So if you're having a real hard time plugging your Ethernet cable all over the place, check it out.
Or if your computer's in a dark corner of the house where the Wi-Fi never reaches, and you're you just don't want to string 50 feet of cable to get it around that corner and through the hallway, yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, your girlfriend, husband, boyfriend, wife,
significant
is like,
other.
Yeah, get that out of there! Damn cables all over the floor. This is the future. Shouldn't we have wireless everything?
I tried that, but the microwave, every time it turns on, it loses signal. And then I'm fragging myself.
Well, now you're blaming the microwave. I see how it is.
Yup. Sometimes. Sometimes it is the microwave. Sometimes it's the, what's the other one? The junction box with the fuses. Man, those are a pain in the butt, too.
Yeah. Well, speaking of junction boxes and fuses, I think you got our robot
That's
story.
Right. Our robot story this week is the Monolithic Bee, which is made by, which comes out of the Harvard School. The Harvard Monolithic Bee, or MOBI, was their final. Is printed on sheets of metal, and the miniature drones are then popped up, so to speak, and folded into their final form. And so far, they can get them to flap their wings, but they don't yet seem to be able to fly. However, this construction technique could be used in the future to get other small devices to be easily packed, transported, and then turned into usable devices in the field.
Huh.
Yeah, the other name for these robotic insects is the PCMEM, or Printed Circuit Board MEM, M-E-M-S. It's a millimeter scale robot, and they have a video on the article from Boing Boing that kind of describes how they're made and goes into a little bit of the research and development that's been going into this. It's one of those, like, it's a funky little thing. The devices are really small. Like, they're smaller than the tip of your finger. Like, you could fit one, sit comfortably inside a dime, I believe.
Huh.
Inside of a dime.
Inside a dime.
Well, I mean, if you put it on, it would be. Oh no, I'm sorry. A quarter.
It would. Oh, then forget it.
Yeah. If it's comfortably on a quarter.
Who has room for that?
Yeah, I was sold on the dime, man. But now right. Not a quarter. It's too big.
Yeah, man.
This is the future. Things are small, tiny.
Infinitesimal.
Yes. Smaller than that word.
Dimes are the smallest of American coins. And you went to one of the largest.
But but are they the sexiest coin?
Easily.
Not about the size of the coin, it's about the value of it, right?
Oh, nice. Well, here's something that isn't losing if you use it.
What's that?
211 service. Free community health and disaster information is available in Santa Clara County by calling 211. That's 211. Callers receive personalized information from a live call specialist about needs such as food, shelter, counseling, drug and alcohol intervention, and employment assistance. The service is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in English, Spanish, and over 170 other languages.
Whoa.
211, that's 211, is a non-emergency confidential phone service operated by United Way Silicon Valley and supported by local cities and the county of Santa Clara. I'm going to get back to my story, because that's what people want to hear.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Story,
Story. Now, maybe you're, you know, sick of the Oscars because it did happen this past Sunday. But you know what? This is Robots Attack, and I'm going to talk about it because maybe you were waiting for us to tell you about the Oscars, which Ooh. Is what you should have done.
Yeah.
And it's what you're doing now.
It's the smart decision.
So thank you. Exactly. So, yeah. First There's off, no way. We are going to hit Best Picture. Now, well, actually, I should ask, did you two guys watch the Oscars or
Not
see anything?
No,
okay.
I don't have TV.
Nor do I, sort of.
Okay, I just figured since the invention of the internet has certain stuff, I, you know, I got to ask if, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want to count you out if you did or not. I mean, that's no huge deal. I just... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and didn't get a chance to watch it.
Well, you didn't miss whole lot.
No.
I mean, it was... They had a couple of, like, decent stuff, but, you know, it wasn't anything.
Who hosted this time around?
Oh, it was Billy Crystal. Yeah. They brought him back.
I heard Angelina Jolie's leg was a high participant in the show.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. She had, like, a dress that slit down, so she stuck her leg, like, right leg out, and... Yeah, I'm not a big, like, I don't really find her all that attractive. I don't think she's ugly, but she's not really my thing. So it was like, okay,
mm-hmm.
Get on to the awards.
Yes, on to the awards.
Which is what I'm going to do. We're going to start with Best Picture. You want to take a guess?
Best Picture.
Okay, you have the choices of The Artist,
Okay.
The Descendants,
uh-huh.
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Help, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Moneyball, The Tree of Life, and War Horse.
Definitely not War Horse.
Descendants?
I would say that Hugo or The Artist. Those are my guesses.
Ooh.
And yours was?
I'm going to guess Descendants.
Caleb is correct.
I am.
Because he kind of cheated and picked two. But The Artist was the winner.
Hey!
Which I did not see. Actually, looking at this list... I saw none of these movies. Yeah, I think this year was definitely ones of like, I didn't really see any of these movies that a lot of them were nominated for. So
it,
was
right. Like, it seemed like a lot of them popped out of the blue, too. Like they just snuck in the last few months or whatnot.
They showed up like 3 months, 4 months before the Oscars, like just so they could try and get in an Oscar at some like.
I don't know.
Yeah. And it was like, and then some were like, whoa, okay, that one won. All right. I guess so.
Sure, why not?
Okay. Following that, we have actor in a leading role. Let's see. Yeah, this year was interesting because a lot of the movies actually had like foreign actors and some like foreign movies mixed in with the American movies.
Okay.
So it wasn't just like the only foreign thing was Best Foreign Picture.
Ah, right,
so,
right.
Like this year had a Spanish actor. I'm not even going to bother trying to announce because I'll just butcher it. From A Better Life, we had George Clooney in The Descendants. We had the main French guy from The Artist. Again, not going to try. Jean is his first name.
There you go.
Gary Oldman in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy and Brad Pitt in Moneyball. Want to take a quick guess?
Well, if Artist took Best Picture, I'm pretty sure they're going to give him the Best Actor.
I'm going to say Gary Oldman.
Whew, Caleb is batting two for...
Oh, man.
And Jason is doing bad.
not so good.
And we have actor in a supporting role, Keith Branagh, wearing a shirt this time, in My Week with Marilyn, Jonah Hill in Moneyball, Nick Nolte and Warrior. Billy Crystal actually did that joke. Christopher Plummer in Beginners. And Max von Sydow in Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close. Jason's favorite devil from Needful Things.
Mm-hmm.
So who won? Will Caleb get the right answer again? Three for three.
No, I don't. I barely.
Just pick two.
Or pick guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Pick the six. Well, it's either this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. Wow, you're right.
It has to be one of these guys. I'm gonna go with the dude. the guy from Extremely Loud and Extremely Close.
Jason's favorite devil?
Yeah.
Max von Sydow? Mm-hmm. Okay. Jason?
Yeah. MVS for the win.
You're both wrong. Christopher Plummer and Beginners.
That's another good choice.
Yeah, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
He did some voice work in Skyrim, too.
Oh.
Getting a little geek thrown in there.
There you go.
All right, actress in a leading role. Glenn Close in Albert Nobbs. Viola Davis in The Help. Rooney Mara in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. She was really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And hot. Meryl Streep in The Iron Lady. And Michelle Williams in My Week with Marilyn. What do you think?
Probably the lady from The Help. There was a lot of buzz around her.
Viola Davis?
Viola Davis, yes.
Okay. Jason?
Tattoo me.
I wish she won. But nope. Meryl Streep.
Oh.
The Iron Lady.
Interesting.
Yeah. She actually, when she went up on stage, she was like, I'll bet like half of America just went, "Oh, not her." It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I read an article about Argentina being like really angry about that movie.
For some reason?
No, it was because I guess it talks about the Falklands War.
Yeah, Falklands, yeah.
And it's just, all it does is have like one line, and it's a little throwaway line about her saying like, "Oh, well, to be a woman in politics, I go to war every day." And so, like, Argentinians were, like, super angry. No, it's much more complicated than that. There were sheep involved.
Now that was rumored Eddie Izzard's, it's all, no empire, no more. England, give them back. Oh, it was India. And we need the Falkland Islands for strategic sheep purposes.
Right.
All right. Well, let's see. Then we have actress in a supporting role. We have the chick from The Artist again, Bernice. No.
Van Sydow.
No. Yes. He's in everything. Bernice. Jessica Chastain in The Help. Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids. Janet McTeer in Albert Nobbs, and Octavia Spencer in The Help. What do you think?
The lead actor, the girl from the Artist.
Okay, Jason.
Doc Ock.
Doc Ock.
Yeah.
Octavia Spencer. Spencer.
Yes.
All right, Jason's on the board.
Yes.
All right, now another big one, directing. The Artist, The Descendants, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, The Tree of Life. Who do you think? Who do you think won?
Midnight in Paris.
All right, so Caleb's got a vote down for Woody Allen. What do you have?
Hugo.
That was my second choice.
Jason's got one down for Martin Scorsese, and you're both wrong.
Oh.
The Artist director won.
Ah.
He's a French guy, and his last name is, yeah, I'm not going to try.
Full of consequences.
Sorry, dude. I congratulate you by not butchering your name. animated feature film that did not have a Pixar movie in it, which is the first year, I think, that that hasn't happened.
This is very true.
We got A Cat in Paris, Chico and Rita, Kung Fu Panda 2, Puss in Boots, and Rango.
This one I actually happened to catch online, and I happen to know it's Rango.
I was going to let Jason guess, at least. Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
Ruined it.
I guess Rango.
Congratulations. You won nothing. All right.
Uh-huh. Hugo. It's almost like the points don't matter.
What are you talking about? Talking to your mic, damn it.
The games are all made up and the points don't matter.
No, they do. They do. It's very important, especially for art direction. The Artist, Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Warhorse. What do you think?
Hugo, guessing.
Warhorse.
Ooh, Caleb comes back.
Whoa.
The Vengeance. Cinematography, The artist.
Kill me again, horse.
A girl with a dragon tattoo. Hugo, the Tree of Life, War Horse. Will you bet on the horse again?
Cinematography?
Yes.
Girl with a dragon tattoo.
War Horse.
Ooh, your horse lost again. It was Hugo.
Oh, my horse is lame.
All right, costume design. The artist won that. Let's see. I'm going to skip documentary. I'm going to go straight to film editing.
Can I vote War Horse for documentary?
sure, and you would be wrong.
Oh.
All right, film editing. Here we go. The Artist, The Descendants, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, or Moneyball?
For editing?
Yes.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Moneyball.
Ooh, Caleb is good.
Damn.
Whoa.
I think he cheated. I think he did know all these already.
Now that
he's
one.
He's looking up on his laptop right now and just cheating all the way to the bank.
What? No, no, no. I wouldn't do that. I'm getting ready for the next segment.
Oh, I see how it is.
It requires him to know answers to questions.
Yes.
A different question than answered.
Like knowing who won for best makeup. Because he's going to know that between Albert Nobbs, Harry Potter, and Deathly Hallows Part 2 and the Iron Lady, that he's going to pick the winner, which is...
Deathly Hallows?
Iron Lady.
Oh, Jason comes back by punching you in the crotch.
Oh, it hurts.
Ow. All right, the artist won best musical original score.
There you go.
The Muppet song, Man or Muppet, won the original song.
Cool.
Let's see. Where we got any other interesting ones? Visual effects. What do you think won? Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2, Hugo, Real Steel, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, or Transformers, Dark of the Moon?
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I'm going to say Rise.
Ooh, you're both wrong. Hugo won.
Oh.
Ooh. Hmm. All right. Just because this entrance me. Writing adapted screenplay. What do you think won? The Descendants, Hugo, The Ides of March, Moneyball, or Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy?
Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy?
I agree.
You're both wrong.
Man.
Who was it?
The Descendants.
Man.
Maybe you'll get the original screenplay writing award.
Okay.
That's The Artist, Bridesmaids, Midnight in Paris, or A Separation?
Oof.
The Artist.
Bridesmaids.
Oh, I'm sorry. Woody Allen won this one.
Oh.
Midnight in Paris.
Curses.
And yeah, there are other awards that I skipped just for time constraints, and, you know, they don't interest me as much as the ones that I picked. I apologize if you are super into documentary, feature documentary, short subject, and, you know, like, what other ones did I skip? Short film and all that sort of stuff. I found this article on IGN.com. I'm sure you can look up just about anywhere 2012 Oscar results and get the list. So I think we're going to now turn to our next segment now.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Greetings, everyone.
Greetings.
So, have you heard the name Alan Parsons before?
No.
No? You ever heard of the Alan Parsons Project?
I've heard of that, yes.
Heard of that?
I have heard of that.
The gentleman whom the name is drawn for this, for that particular thing, is an audio engineer. He worked on Beatles' album, and also Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Okay.
So he's got kind of a little bit of credibility when it comes to knowing good things about audio engineering and how to make things sound good. And recently he was interviewed by CE Pro, I believe it's a magazine. It's a sound enthusiast's audiophiles and things like that. And he basically says that most audiophile gear is basically overpriced.
Say what?
And unnecessary for a quality in and listening experience. Him and I've heard a couple of other musicians voice a similar sort of sentiment that no matter how hard you try to replicate the sound of a performance, you can't replicate the sound of a performance without going to a repeat of that performance. It's just physically impossible. No matter how good your recording gear is, you're still trying to take an analog form and turn it into a digital bit or a sample of that form. And you're then so there's a little bit of guesswork involved in any kind of replication of any sound.
Okay. Is there a way to properly surround it so it helps a little bit? Or?
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten really smart about how they do audio processing so that it's really, 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 really ridiculously good, but it's not quite the same, and it's never going to be quite the same until we find ways of actually moving analog waves without translation through our digital medium, which I'm not sure how that's going to happen. At least not in their current technology.
So you're saying not even Scotty could figure this out?
Scotty might, given about 11 hours and an oncoming Klingon approach. He might be able to get through it.
Even if they went to Rigel 7?
Rigel 6, man.
Ooh.
Even there.
Especially there.
No.
But, So the there's a lot more, you know, kind of talking about his engineering background and stuff like that. Kind of gives you some flavor about what he's done.
Who, Scotty's?
No, Alan Parsons. But
we all saw that.
Transparent aluminum. Anyway, what it really comes down to is that, yes, you can pay several thousand dollars for your speakers and several thousand dollars for your cables and several thousand more dollars for your amplifier and several thousand more dollars for your CD player and your, you know, you can just start adding on the multi, you can pack tons and tons and tons of cash into a space, but.
And really, it's just going to come down to your preference in the end, right?
Pretty much.
Okay.
It's more or less preference, and also there is, like, audio engineers, even most of them don't, like, they get good gear. Like, there's stuff that's called, like, you know, that they have, you can get reference level monitors for your desk and stuff like that, that you can, which are considered, you know, like, you know, a nice flat sound that's, whatever you add to it will be adding to it or taking away from it. It's not going to change the sound as near as anybody can tell. And when you get much beyond that, it's kind of a, well, if it sounds good to you, congratulations. You now have better sounding stuff. If it doesn't sound much better, then there's no need to pay for that much better. I recently, I need to find the article again, but on Lifehacker, they recently had a article about making your about how to get a quality audio experience without shelling out tons for audio gear. It comes down to your first step is getting a good CD player, and doesn't have to be like the best, but a good one, and then a good amplifier, and then good speakers.
Okay.
How
do you know whether it's a good CD player or not? Just reviews, or
reviews mostly. There's a lot of.
What does one look for in a good CD player?
Basically, the motors and the balancing are good, so that it will, and the error, and then it has doesn't need to do as much error correction on the discs and stuff like that. So, you know, keep your discs clean for one thing.
Nice.
Don't give them to your 4-year-olds. To use as frisbees. when you have a good source for your audio, and then going from there to a good amplifier, which will amplify things like an amplifier tends to do, but without distorting or coloring the sound as much as possible, and then, you know, a nice pair of speakers, and like, all of these things can be had for, you can get a decent setup for quote-unquote audiophile level type stuff for like under $5,000, probably even under $1,000 if you're willing to, you know, negotiate a little bit on some of the on yourself with yourself on some of these items.
Crack out your Hagelin boots.
And one thing's for certain, you don't need to buy monster cables.
What?
No matter what they may tell you, they've like certified it, like really high end engineers have like been heard, have listened to music that came across coat hanger wire and audiophile level wires and, you know, decent speaker wire, and there was no discernible difference. As long as you have a good connection, it doesn't really matter that much.
Dang, I'm gonna have to invest in coat hangers.
Yeah.
So, you know, like get what looks like is a decent, like if you want to get a better quality cable, grab that spool of monster cable and look for a cable that has a similar like wiring wrap and like, okay, that one's pretty close. This one's one third the price. Sold. You know, just, you know,
I'll take it.
Yeah. Cause you don't need to go overboard to get good quality audio and home theater stuff. Like you can, you know, spend a little money cause you do get what you pay for, but don't need to think you're going to have to sink $500,000 to get a decent, you know, 5.1 and screen. You know, that's you don't need to go quite that far.
Monster is listening to this right now and thinking, like, okay, we need to get into the coat hanger market.
Yeah. Yeah. Monster coat hangers.
And hire a hitman to kill those three. Because they just told people not to buy monster cable.
Yeah, monster cable's been viciously overpriced for years now.
So we'll probably never have them as a sponsor. So thanks a lot, Kim.
So no. Why are there laser dots on your guys'
foreheads? Huh?
Hey, want some candy? End of transmission.
Well, as always, that was an excellent Caleb's Corner. And I'm going to tell you about something, Caleb.
What's that?
And Jason, and all of you out there. I'm going to tell you about the ESL Conversation Club. Want to enhance your English conversation skills in a friendly and comfortable environment?
I do.
Please join the Santa Clara City Library's ESL Conversation Club. Space is limited. First come, first served. If you have any questions, please visit the reference desk at the Central Park Library located at 2635 Homestead Road or call 408-615-2900. That's 408-615-2900. All right, let's get back to some music. We are Robots Attack.
Whoever goes into the core is not coming back.
The core.
Movies.
Sequels suck.
By definition alone, they're inferior films.
Rule generalization, many sequels have surpassed their original.
Comics.
As you know, I'm quite keen on comic books. Especially the ones about superheroes.
Video games.
What is that?
The Power Glove. I love the Power Glove. It's so bad.
Music.
Top 5 musical crimes perpetrated by Stevie Wonder in the 80s and 90s go.
Tech stuff.
This is the isopalladial interface which controls the main ferromantle drive unit. Don't touch that. Block the entire ferromantle drive.
What is the ferromantle drive?
Alrighty, we are back with Robots Attack in the Core. I'm going to start us off with the top 10 box office. All right, number one, Act of Valor, $24.4 million. Number two, Tyler Perry's Good Deeds. Number three, Journey 2, The Mysterious Island, with $13.3 million. Number four, Safe House, with $10.9 million. Number five, The Vow, with 9.9 million. Number six, Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, with 9 million.
Seriously?
Number seven, This Means War, another stinky movie, with 8.4 million. Number eight, Wanderlust, with 6.5 million. Number nine, Gone, with 4.7 million. Not quite gone yet. Still in the top 10.
Yuck.
And finally, it's an anime movie. What do you think it is, Caleb?
Anime movie?
It's The Secret World of...
Oh, Air Yeti.
There you go. Which you haven't seen yet, right?
No, I haven't seen it one yet.
Are you going to see it?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, you just need to find the time to do that.
It had 4.3 million to round out the top 10.
Right on. All right, so from movies on the big screen to movies on the small screen, a collection of DVD and Blu-ray releases for this week. Betty Page, Dark Angel.
Ooh.
Anthony Bourdain, Cook's Tour. Buster Keaton, MGM Triple Feature, classic silent movies. And then, let's see, Hugo, How the Universe Works. Johnny English 1 comes out on Blu-ray. And Johnny English Reborn is on both formats. Justice League, Doom. Mission Impossible, 88 and 89 seasons. Midsommar Murder, set 16. My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Pac-Man. Yes!
Pac-Man, the complete first season.
Ooh, what? What?
Yes. They made an animated show.
In Paku Paku?
Paku Paku, the complete first season, yes. Runaway Jury, I think I just said that one. Top Gear, season 17. That's the UK edition, for those who are keeping score.
Oh, okay.
And Galad, Lord of the Abs, Phenomenal Abs and Core DVD. I saw that and I was like, can't pass that up. That is comic gold.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people got to work out. We're going to help the people.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just feed their mind. We must also feed their bodies.
That's right. That's
or
right.
Galad will feed their bodies or
something.
What was that, his name?
Yeah, Galad. You know, the cover was pretty hilarious, too.
That sounds vaguely familiar. I wonder if I've seen that guy, like, early in the morning or late at night.
It's distinctly possible with the name. We're used to promoting stuff like that.
Glad. Glad. Not to be confused with glad.
Glad. The place that you feel you are when things are going right.
Or the...
plastic bags.
Yes, that was it. That's what I was thinking. Wait, what product was glad? All right, speaking of plastic and products, we have video games now. We're going to start us off with SSX, the snowboarding action-adventure game returns. And there's a demo available for 360 and the PS3.
Nice.
Then we have Binary Domain, an original squad-based shooter by Toshihiro Nagoshi, the creator behind the Yakuza series. There's a demo also available for the 360 and the PS3. Then we have Mortal Kombat Complete Edition! Same game now with our previously released DLC for the 360 and the PS3.
Because it's all in capitals, that's why it sounds like that.
And it's all in K's. Well, the combat and the complete are
naturally.
You know, naturally. Then we have Deep Black Reloaded, set in a desolate near future of global terrorism and espionage as players become involved in a desperate fight for world supremacy and the possession of a sophisticated biological weapon. This game is for the PC.
Like every other video game.
Yes, it's so original, that concept. Then we have Shin Megami Tenshi Devil Survivor 2.
Dun, dun, dun.
The sequel to the award-winning RPG/SRPG hybrid for the DS. Then we have Caleb's favorite, Poke Park 2, Wonders Beyond. Play as Pokemon Daddy. For the Wii. Then we have his second favorite game, Rhythm Thief and the Emperor's Treasure. Immerse yourself in a mysterious rhythmic adventure in the city of Paris for the 3DS.
I feel immersed.
Yes, as you should. Then we have the Lord of the Rings Online Mithril Edition. Comes with an exclusive Steed of the Horse Lord's Mount. 2,000 turbine points to spend in Middle Earth. Path of the Fellowship bonus quests for the PC.
Mithril.
Then we have
Zithril.
We're all thrilled for ice throw Mithril ice cream. Then we have Zen Pinball / Pinball FX 2. Because Zen Pinball's the name for it on the PS3, and Pinball FX2 is the name for it on the 360. Yep.
Someone's trying too hard.
Oh. The Epic Quest table, which I believe it's also available for Android and some other things. Then we have Black Knight Sword, a 2D side-scrolling platformer from Suda51's, the makers of Killer 7 and No More Heroes, development house Grasshopper Manufacturer, for the 360 and the PS3. And finally, I threw this one on here because it's the first major video game from Vietnam.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if it's 7,554 or if it's 7,554 or, you know, I don't know if they,
right,
how they want to do it, but it's numbers. A 7, a 5, a 5, and a 4, and it's for the PC. And there you have the video game releases.
Right on. Well, from video games to their kissing cousins, the comic book. All right, we're going to start off with No Place Like Home, number one. Story by Angelo Titoro, Taroto, and art by Richard Jordan. It's a new take on the Oz story, which is more mystery than fantasy, although it does branch a deeper mystery in Oz as well.
Ooh.
Next up is a graphic novel, Jim Henson's Tale of Sand. Story by Jim Henson and Jerry Jewell.
Tale of Sand.
And art by Ramon Perez. This is a hitherto unknown, unpublished story by Jim Henson. And it's about a guy who's trying to figure out his past. He woke up in a town in Arizona with no memory. And I think a briefcase. But two things really interested me in this. One, Jim Henson, always good. Two, Ramon Perez. Ramon Perez does a webcomic that I like a lot called Kookaburri. And his artwork is fantastic. And if this comic is anything like that, it's going to be fabulous. Go pick it up. New Mutants. Yes, New Mutants is still on the list because New Mutants is good. Green Lantern, The New Guardians, number 6. Yes, with it being a number 6 and a DC title, that means it's part of the New 52.
Ooh.
The story is by Tony Bedrard and art by Tyler Kirkram. It's another solid story, detailing a new team developed by Green Lantern. It's not the movie, so hey, it can't be all bad. Flash number 6, another New 52. If you like the Flash storytelling, go for it. Eye of Vampire number 6 also hit shelves, not New 52, but could be interesting. Fantastic Four number 603 is leading up to the climax of the story that's been brewing for a little while. There's the All-Star Western number 6, which is used to be called Jonah Hex, but then they called it All-Star Western number 6, and when they did that, it also changed format a little bit, and it's not so much a Western anymore, but that's not so important because it relates to Batman.
Batman. It was like rivalry. Release Batman.
Do you need a lozenge, sir? Sir, do you need a Bane? Bane in the studio. Anyways, Hack and Slash number 13. And yes, Hack Slash is also being shopped around for TV and movie studios. And Game of Thrones has a comic book series. If you just can't get enough of the show and the books, Game of Thrones, the comic book, is here for you. And from what I could tell from the cover of this issue, it looks like it might be focusing on Dany Aris Targaryen.
And since you just mentioned Game of Thrones, just wanted to throw a little shout out. They got a new trailer for season 2 up. Go check it out. Looks awesome.
Good deal.
April 1st, people. When it premieres.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
Does that round it out for the comics? Or?
I believe that rounds up the picks for this week in comics.
Okay, well, before we get into the core, let me read you this real quick PSA announcement. Did you know that KSCU is always looking for new public service announcements to share with the public? Nonprofits and government agencies can submit new announcements to KSCU by emailing traffic@kscu.org. All right, gentlemen, what do we have for the core?
What do you want to start? Do you want to go with Ghost Rider or with Mass Effect?
Let's start with Mass Effect. Basically, If people haven't heard already, Mass Effect did their own little marketing stunt where they did something kind of mean. They sent the first copies of the game up on balloons into space.
Space.
To return back down to Earth where people could find them.
Earth.
And so far it doesn't sound like it was a particularly special copy or anything like that. It's mainly that you can get it like a week before release.
I call shenanigans on this.
Right, but it was sort of interesting because I guess they're planning on doing them at different places across the country, and I think one or two across the world too, but the beginning of it was right here, fairly close, and it was released in San Francisco. And I just thought it was sort of interesting because for the brief amount of time where I was paying attention to it and contemplating being one of those people running around with a GPS trying to find this thing, it looked like they were both going out to sea.
Oops.
Yeah. If you can imagine the shape of California, it's kind of like slanting inward as you go south, and they were going straight south from San Francisco. And apparently they turned like right away, like right when they needed to, but one was almost not in time because it landed on the cliff face.
Oops.
So I haven't heard of anybody successfully managed to grab that cliff face one yet, but it sounded like a bunch of people found the one that landed farther inland, and it actually landed on in a tree. And so a whole bunch of fans were clamoring for this thing and yelling like over the internet at the people that were actually there, like, well, why don't you climb the tree? Because they were just hopelessly looking up into this tree like, what do we do?
No, used to being outdoors.
nobody brought a rope or a ladder.
The lens flare in the sky is really overdone. They need to tone that down a bit.
Right.
I'm pushing A. Why am I not climbing this?
So, yeah, go to Mass Effect 3's website to find out about future schedulings of this, if they do, in fact, decide to do more of them, since it was almost a fiasco this time.
I remember last time someone tried to do like a launch something like that in San Francisco, like, Greenpeace, like, kind of freaked out. Like, no, you can't release all these petroleum products into the air. It's going to land on seagulls.
That was the, what was that one? I can't remember. The one where Korea is, like, trying
to... Oh, Homefront?
Yeah, it was the Homefront one. Because they released, like, thousands of red balloons, which I thought was sort of funny just from the song front. But
from a nostalgia point of view, it's kind of awesome.
Right. They could have just released 99 and I would have been happy. But yeah, the idea was that they were going to release tons and tons of balloons where they'd fall back down to Earth and where it would be like pretty good advertising, but it just ended up being a mess and people complained a lot.
Yeah, they did.
Since it was also in San Francisco.
And there are a few places that complain, like San Francisco.
Right. They have elevated it to a fine art.
Yep, them in Berkeley. And you can't drive. It's hard to drive in Berkeley. Hate driving in Berkeley. I'd rather drive in San Francisco than drive in Berkeley.
That's a different... saying something.
Yep, and that's a tangent. But yes. Oh, man. Funny marketing stunts gone awry.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the Ghost Rider movie was still in the top 10, which blows my mind just a little bit.
People love the ghost. And they love when ghosts are riding.
Yeah, when they're riding, flames pop out.
Yeah,
the chains are like the kicker.
Yeah.
The flames in were one of the best parts of the first movie. So,
yeah.
I guess there's more of that.
And mix in a little bit of Nick Cage and we're all set.
You got it.
That's going to stay in the top 10 for months.
That's a recipe for awesomeness.
It's a recipe for something, all right.
I still need to see that movie because I want to find out if they brought back the, what was it, the Skittles or the M&M's? where he had to have them all like separated out.
I can't remember.
It made such a big deal of it in that first movie.
Yeah, red and yellow and orange ones.
Right.
It was martini glasses.
Finding out what was
nothing screams, you know, tortured soul of the of a living damned like a martini glass full of like candy.
Carefully separated candy too.
Yes. Yes. Oh. Anyways, let's back on focus here before I start trying to punch Chris right in the face.
Which would burn.
It would hurt. It wouldn't be very pleasant. Ghost Rider, the character, was created a while back by Gary Friedrich.
How long while?
I had to look that up.
Damn it, you made me look it up.
Like
I was prepared for that, yeah.
67, I believe. Anyway, he's
looking things up. Looking things up.
Also, he's currently in some hot water, legal hot water with Marvel Comics because he has been at his convention appearances. He's as part of, you know, being there. He sells signed artwork of the character.
I
have heard about this.
Yeah, and Marvel is like kind of like, no, you can't do that. You don't own this character. You have no rights to it at all. And it's turned into a bit of a legal, into a bit of an internet fervor over the whole thing.
Well, I guess it started first with him suing them over rights for it, and then they countersued over the poster issue, if I remember right.
It's kind of gone back and forth. There's been people that are there's been all sorts of like people rising up on both sides, like those who would support Mr. Friedrich.
So he created it, but doesn't have the rights
to reuse the character.
He doesn't own the rights and stuff. So, but Marvel does, and so he's signing, making these things, and selling them. And they're like, wait, you don't actually own these, even though you created
well, exactly.
Right.
Well, here's the thing too. He's not the actual creator for it, for what I remember.
Yeah, he's the lead writer he was like influential in the creation of the character, but it's not strictly him.
Okay.
Right. The company created the character, well, much like all of the other characters that they made at that time.
Okay.
It was basically Stan Lee and a couple other people around a table, like, okay, well,
how about
we'll
do
this
on
guy
the motorcycle
in his name.
And the...
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be cool, and you'll tortured by a demon, and he was released in 1972.
Johnny Blaze, right?
Yeah,
Johnny Blaze is the original Ghost Rider.
Then they hire a writer and go from there.
Yeah.
Which would be him.
Yep. Okay. So then what, like... Does this guy have really a leg to stand on then? I mean, is it what's...
Absolutely zero. It's more like a popular protest type of thing from what I understand.
Yeah, because...
Like, more like I kind of... You may have technically created him, but I actually made him popular, kind of made him what he is.
Right, exactly.
So
I at least deserve the right to sell posters of him.
Yeah, and there's also some people that are kind of... You know, kind of hacked off about that and just him selling posters because the artwork wasn't his. He was the writer, not the artist. And so he's basically profiting off of somebody else's artwork as well. So there's a lot of other, there's kind of...
Which he also doesn't own.
So that's like kind of like two kind of like shady things. But at the same time, like he's not really doing, he's not actively working as much anymore. Like his convention appearances are basically all of his income at this point. So it's sort of it's kind of a shafty thing to do to him, but he's kind of doing a shafty thing back. So it's no one's really clean in this particular fight.
There's a lot of shaft pitching in this.
Yeah. But when it kind of came out that Marvel was like, you know, won a suit against him for $17,000. He was just like, I don't even have $17,000, and so that created a lot of the grounds for the protest against Marvel. Yeah. Plus, people are kind of pissed off at Marvel because they're a big corporation. Are just squeezing that little guy, getting that blood out of the stone and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the interview that we were hearing with T-Mac, like some of the things that he brought up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sticking with it. Your blood's now. Yeah.
You're within 2 feet of the guy.
Right.
Like, BFF.
Yep. We heard him talk. We heard that he lived in San Jose for a while. And yeah. Oh, so. Yeah.
Buds.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And he talked about just kind of the being sort of screwed over slash like
right.
wanting to have the control like with you know not just a
there's a lot of control involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why almost everyone that's kind of sort of breaking into comics, a lot of them are saying like, you know, if you can do creator owned work, go for that. You know, if you can make, even if it's not as large an audience as you would, quote unquote, as you would get with Marvel, if your audience will actually pay you for it, you know, keep going with that. Because when you give up control, you like, when you sign it away, it goes away. You can never get that back again. Not without lots and lots of blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
And lawyer fees. And
then, trying to buy lawyers. It back. And yeah, spending a bunch of money and. But, you know, speaking of disputes,
yes.
Does your landlord tell you that your children cannot play outside?
Always.
If so, you have experienced housing discrimination. Children have the same rights as adults. More information is available by calling Project Sentinel at 888-324-7468. That's 888-324-7468.
Luckily, both my landlord and my children are fictional.
There you go.
See, that's always nice.
But it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt.
That's true. And it doesn't mean that children don't have the same rights, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there you go.
They're no less human just because they're smaller.
Or because they exist in my mind.
Very true. All right, so what else have we got?
So it looks like you have something here about Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah.
It looks like an IO9 article. IO9 is an excellent website. Y'all ought to check that out for
right. Basically,
some geek newsery.
They've been looking for a way to make another Ghostbusters movie for quite a while. And another group of independent writers had tossed around a script, but once it got in the hands of people who actually could put together this movie, and then got into the hands of the original cast of the first two movies, Bill Murray was fairly adamant that he would never do another one. And so...
Yeah, I think I had heard that, like, one of the only ways he would do it is, excuse me, is possibly by playing a ghost. That was one idea that was thrown out.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. That's pretty good.
But, I mean, you know, it was kind of like, I think it was, excuse me, I think it was just one of those things like, yeah, you know, if I come back, maybe I'll play a ghost or something. You know, it kind of still sounded like, I don't really want to do it, but.
Yeah. Well, apparently the original script that kind of caused the commotion in the first place has been pitched, or is gone. But Dan Aykroyd ended up picking it up and taking a stab at it. And it sounds like he has just about everybody on board for doing another one now that it's him in control of it, except still Bill Murray.
Right. Uh-huh.
And anyway, so... Aykroyd kind of made waves a couple weeks ago by suggesting that they might recast Bill Murray's character.
Oh, yeah. And, that could be interesting.
Yeah, and people weren't happy about that. And I'm running into a familiar problem with the IO9 website. It's not letting me scroll up.
I think Caleb's got it for you.
Okay. Well,
basically kind of what you said pretty much is what the article...
What it comes down to is a lot of speculation about who could possibly end up replacing him. And, of course, there's tons of big names right now. But none of them could really play that character, it seems like, because all the big names are much younger people as it stands right now. So people are throwing around, like, Jack Black and Jim Carrey and Will Ferrell, but, yeah, no, they need to come up with something different and write the character out, back as just, a ghost, something.
You just not have him. He could just be like off married to Sigourney Weaver's character, if not, like they got divorced and he's gone. If she's gonna be back in it, you know, type of thing. Like,
here's the thing that is sort of neat, at least to me, is that he did manage to get Rick Moranis on board, and Rick Moranis has been like incredibly happily retired for like decades now, because he made so much money off of the Ghostbuster movies that he was just like, okay, I'm done. I don't have to do any of this stuff anymore.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and stuff.
and so the idea of Rick Moranis coming back to her role is intriguing to me at the very least.
I would go see that.
Yeah, it would be kind of weird though, because they are pushing fairly older age. It's good. You know,
and that was the really harsh criticism that Bill Murray originally leveled at the idea. It was like, nobody wants to see a bunch of old guys running around trying to catch ghosts.
Because then it turns into one of those like, oh, okay, well then what do they do like a younger, new generation joins, and they, like, teach them and stuff. You're like,
Now with Shia LaBeouf.
Zac Efron. And
aliens.
And the two people from Twilight.
Oh, yeah. They'll use crystal skulls to communicate
with ghosts. Shh. You didn't mention those things.
There we go. Get Harrison Ford to play Dr. Peter Venkman.
He would make a pretty cool, like, extra doctor, actually. I'd go for that.
Or like the bad guy or something, just something totally random that he's never done.
Yeah.
He could have an eye patch.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is getting awesome.
Generic European accent of some sort or another.
Oh yeah, well definitely. Hopefully German.
Yeah.
Yeah, because nothing spells tyranny and fear like German accent.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he can end up playing like a German ghost. German Nazi ghost or something.
This is getting better and better. We need to write this movie
from space.
Move over, Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Like, wait, make Blues Brothers 3.
Yeah. Ghostbusters
see that
3000. Because I think 2 was 2000, so I go like,
yeah.
There you go.
Blues Brothers 3000. No, in the year 3000, they were frozen.
In the future.
In the future. And
in
everything.
The year 3000.
In the year 3000. Oh, you know, that Nazi thing reminded me of, if you get a chance, if you haven't checked it out yet, check out Jimmy Kimmel did this, like, fake movie video thing for the Oscars called The Movie. Check it out. It's pretty funny. It's got like tons of people in it. You know, George Clooney, Meryl Streep, like just Samuel L. Jackson, Matt Damon. Like, it's star studded. Like, one of my favorite parts is you see this guy in like a monk robe. Mm-hmm. And he's got the full on like hood over his head, so you don't see his face at all.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, Daniel Day-Lewis, as you've never seen him before. And then the hood goes over and it's, as Tyler Perry, and it's Tyler Perry, and then it's as George Washington, and then he puts on the hat and, you know, goes on the boat over to Delaware and stuff. Nice. As George Washington, I'm just busting up. It's like Daniel Day Lewis, Tyler Perry playing Daniel Day Lewis.
Oh, that's comic gold right there.
Yeah. So we got anything else interesting?
Let's see. What's on the agenda?
Well, we can go back a little ways. I thought something was kind of interesting that popped up a couple weeks back. A game that I really, really loved back in PS2, like launch days.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't just for jiggling, but it was Dead or Alive Part 2.
Okay.
And I guess it was just released in an interview that the version of the game that we all came to know and love
mm-hmm.
was apparently like a beta copy.
Okay.
Interesting.
Right, because Sony was pushing all of their studios so hard to create, like...
Launch titles.
Right, launch titles for the console.
Right.
That they kept on leaning on, I forget the guy's name, but the...
Got the glasses, right, loves the, Steven Tyler, Aerosmith.
Yeah. Japanese Steven Tyler.
I think it begins with a T.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the creator and leader of Team Ninja. And anyway, they were pushing him so hard, and he was just, like, not giving in at all. He was just like, no, it's going to be done when it's done. I want to make this as good as possible, like, get all the frame rates absolutely perfect and everything. And so finally, the head honchos at Sony, they were like, well, can we at least, like, check it out? Can you, like, hand us off a copy of what you have so far?
Right.
Well, they took that copy and they released it. So this is all according to him. So who knows? There might be, like, old anger issues between them or whatever. But by all accounts, well, by his account. I was playing a beta copy, and I was very happy with it.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive beta.
If only all betas were as good as that one.
Yeah.
Man. That was. I remember that game being pretty solid.
Oh, yeah.
Once you got used to the fact that it was a button for punch, kick, and reverse.
Yeah, I just liked the speed of it. Like, it, especially if you crank the AI speed all the way up on that game, it was insanely fast to play that game. So that was why it kind of threw me off that they were even concerned about frame rate problems or anything like that, because it was like, yeah, man, that was slick.
Yeah.
Because especially you crank the speed up on a game like that, and you add things like reversals where it's actually... like you counteracting somebody, and it just ended up being a really interesting, free-flowing game.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, anytime you can add a little bit of jiggle to that, it's not a bad thing either, in my view.
Amen.
Yeah. The team was originally led by Tomonobu Itakagi.
Yeah, Tomonobu Itakagi, and he was apparently very miffed.
Yep.
In his cowboy hat.
Yes.
Sunglasses, leather jacket.
Oh, yeah. I honestly wonder if he's ever seen the sun.
him and Bono.
Yeah. They hang together, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They can't communicate, but they just hang. It's...
Well, when you look that cool, like just sitting down, you don't need to communicate. You're
telepathically just like linked.
You get some shining action going on there, and you know, they just like sit there like, and you're just like, wow, this room is 20 times cooler because these two guys are both in it with their sunglasses on.
Yeah.
He had a cowboy hat.
Take that. He out Steven Tyler'd Steven Tyler by putting sunglasses on. I don't think he has the luscious lips, though.
Very few people do.
Or the bandana tied to the...
I think he has that. I think I've seen that.
Tied to the microphone? The
microphone stand?
Oh, yeah.
It's like tied to his computer mouse or something. Like the mouse cord.
Yeah, he has it right around his PS2 controller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've got a couple minutes left. I'm going to throw this out. You want to recommend anything, Caleb or Jason, to the people out there? They should go check out or read or watch or... Doesn't have to be new. Can be old. Can be new. Can be something that hasn't even come out yet.
Well, I just finished reading the core three books of the John Carter of Mars stories by Edgar Rice Burroughs. They're solid.
All right.
They're a little dated in some of their terminology and the style, but they're a lot of fun to read.
Yeah, check them out before the movie comes out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It comes out, I think, pretty soon, too.
Yeah, comes out March 6th.
Yeah.
Same day as the Mass Effect 2, or 3.
Yeah. It's going to be a busy, confusing day.
Yeah. How about you, Jason?
I saw Chronicle, and I really, really loved it, personally. A friend tweeted me weeks ago that it's the closest thing to a live-action Akira movie that we're probably, well, a good live-action Akira movie that we're ever going to get. And so far, I'm inclined to agree. It was pretty neatly done, I think.
Cool. Was the shaky cam too much, since it's one of those found footage movies and they're famous for their shaky cam?
Honestly, to me, they figured out some of the best ways to incorporate all of the found footage that I've ever seen. And a lot of it is just the idea of the movie and lets them do some kind of tricky things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, it gives them an excuse to have some really neat shots at certain parts of the movie.
Cool.
And I made the comment, too, like, by them using that sort of style, it ended up creating a much better aesthetic for conveying action than a lot of the action movies lately have been using, it seems like. The Underworld movie, I commented before, it seemed really dry for them doing these incredible action scenes, but it was, like, really static, boring camera work.
Right.
Well, by having, like, this found footage plastered in there, it allowed them to, like, cut to, like, a street camera or something like that, or an ATM security camera.
Yeah. Okay.
And it ended up making things so much more interesting for, like, big crashes and bing bang booms.
Cool. I'll have to go check that one out. I've been hearing kind of interesting things about it. A lot of people have been pretty pleased with the film.
Yeah, pretty solid. And I completely forgot, but I heard, yeah, filmed entirely in South Africa.
Huh.
Watching it, you wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I would have totally guessed that it would be like Vancouver or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fog, a lot of overcast, but it looks really cool.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, we're able to check it out. I would recommend, since we got to wrap this up, check out Fringe, because hopefully it gets a next season, and I'm really, really enjoying it. I want people to go out there and watch it so they get as hyped as I am. Yes. So, all right, thanks for listening to us this week. We are here every Tuesday from 11 to 1. We are Robots Attack. You can email us at
robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
You can go to our Facebook page at
Robots Attack.
And you can tweet us at
Robots Attack Me.
Yes, and we love it if you do. Please let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear more of. And like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, any cool breweries. We're definitely interested in that. And what you thought should have won the Oscars, anything we talked about, hit us up. And we want to hear from you.
Please talk to us.
Yes. We're so lonely in here.
It's only the three of us, and it's a good conversation, but please, add yourselves.
Yes, we want you to be that additional robot that's attacking.
Right, and comes in the station window and give us a hand wave, something.
Yeah. Definitely do that. Don't flip us off unless you, like, really want to, but whatever, you know what?
That just invites us to do in kind, so.
Very true, it is participation.
Right.
All right, everyone, have a good night. Raccoon. Veronica. Mistel.